Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Thursday. It is the 9th of June, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show. We are on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And, of course, we welcome our simulcast partners, KJAA in Globe. And, of course, we're heard at KAPR in Douglas. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web as well, buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show there, along with archiving all of our previous programs. We have a terrific lineup for this program. We are always live noon to 1 p.m. Today's show includes a newsmaker interview with Arizona's 7th District Congressman Raul Grijalva. Then we'll talk with Jonathan Walker, head of the Tucson Convention and Tucson Tourism Bureau, about summer tourism. The bottom of the hour, we bring in the vice mayor of the city of Tucson, Richard Fimbrace, and we'll close out the show with our CEO interview series presented by Trio. Today we are spotlighting Fletcher McCusker. The Buckmaster Show is primarily interview-driven. However, we do encourage your comments. If you have a question for our guests or a comment, please call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. If you're outside of the Tucson area, 1-866-725-5467. And we begin this afternoon with a newsmaker interview with United States Representative Raul Grijalva of Arizona's 7th Congressional District. Congressman Grijalva is the ranking member and House in the House Subcommittee on National Parks, Forests, and Public Lands. Congressman, good to see you.
Good to see you, and thank you for the hospitality again. I appreciate it very much.
Oh, it's always good to see you. And to begin with, since we are heard on this program, certainly up in the White Mountains and the fire-devastated areas, we want to certainly, I know you speak as well, about sending our heartfelt worries and concerns to all of our friends in the White Mountains, one of the most beautiful areas of this country. And you know what, also really the economic situation happening in the summer, the unemployment rate in some of those counties is high anyway, and now this happening.
Yeah, and you said it very well. I think as you watch that, and as I get reports on what's going on, the idea that that devastation is as huge as it is, and I think the concern needs to be for the safety of everybody and for as quick a suppression of that fire as humanly possible. Your point about the economy is so true. It's a seasonal, and the fact that this is going to affect visitors without question doesn't help the economy, and in fact, it's not good for that whole region. Whole communities have been evacuated. We know, Mona and I know families from there, and obviously we're concerned for everybody that's there. But it's a devastating catastrophe right now. There's no better word for it.
Do you look at it a little different than perhaps some of the rest of us, because you are, as I mentioned, on this National Parks, Forests, and Public Lands, you're the ranking member on that subcommittee. Do you, when you see this destruction, do you kind of maybe have a different take than the rest of us?
I think the take is hindsight, and about what we should have done legislatively that didn't get done. And what still needs to be done. You know, the reality is in the last 15 years, and certainly intensified the last decade, fire suppression has been a major issue with the Forest Service and with National Park Service. A huge amount of the budget, almost 40% of the budget of Forest Service, goes to fire suppression. It's spent every year, and you cannot say, well, we have a finite amount of money. If there's a fire of this magnitude, you spend the money you need to suppress it and make sure communities are safe. The hindsight is, and I hope that these fires in Arizona are going to be an abject lesson for my colleagues, and it's certainly something that we need to press once more. We had a piece of legislation called the Flame Act, and what it did very simply is, out of royalties for extraction on public land, money was to be put aside to only do fire suppression, nothing else, both prevention, both the interface between communities and the wild areas, and so that communities would be safer, and to have all the resources for immediate reaction to fire suppression. We felt that needed to be a separate account, that it needed to be dedicated funding to that account. It didn't happen. It didn't get out of the Senate. We hope that this year that legislation again is looked at, because this phenomena is not an isolated interest. The size and the devastation in Arizona is one of a kind that's going on right now. But it's not an isolated incident. So I think we need to, for the future, if there's any lesson to be learned, is to dedicate funding to it, include all those communities so they can protect their interface with the forest, and do a significant prevention effort. And you have to have money dedicated to it. It's every year the amount of money used for fire suppression increases. I don't see that changing with climate change and the extra dryness that's going out there. It's not going to change, so why don't we just anticipate and know that and prepare for it?
It's 11 minutes past 12. This is the Buckmaster Show, and I'm speaking with Congressman Raul Grijalva here live in studio. Before you came over to the KVOI studios here, Congressman, you were at the headquarters of Job Path Incorporated of Tucson, congratulating those folks on a $200,000 recently awarded federal jobs training program. This is something that goes back, your connection to their founding in 1998 when you were a Pima County supervisor.
Yeah, it's been a great program, and their success is tremendous. And what is unique about this program, and people should really take notice, is that they are preparing people that had in the past have had are hard to place, that are underserved, that don't have the skills for the kind of job market, but they're preparing them for the jobs of now and the future: biotech, medical, technical, information services, and healthcare, and they find jobs. The one young lady, as soon as she finished the training, she got her degree from Pima College plus the training, $28 an hour.
Wow, that's
terrific. And that's the example. But I think that this program also is that we need to really invest in training. People, you're asking people to go back into the workforce to look for jobs, and maybe the jobs that they've had their whole lives are non-existent anymore. So you have to retrain, because if we're going to turn this economy around, Bill, you've got to lower this unemployment rate. If we don't do that, we're going to still have this delicate teetering situation.
Forest Service is out with their preliminary report, and no one really was too surprised because of the Mining Act of 1872 concerning Rosemont. However, there is a long list of conditions that Rosemont would have to meet. This is far from a done deal as far as the folks who are opposed to this. That's what they're saying. What do you think?
I think they're right. I think I really believe I don't think people should start
breaking ground.
The proponents shouldn't start breaking ground right away. I think what I'm looking for, are you going to leave that public land the way you found it? And I think that's the list of questions that's there. Let me put it in a nutshell. Are you going to leave it the way you found it? And if that's – is the groundwater going to be safe? Is air quality going to be good? Is the traffic not going to impede on the life of those rural areas? All those answers, those questions are out there. And I have a philosophy about this particular issue with Rosemont is do no harm. And if it's private land, they can do as they please in this country. But I really believe that because of the public side to it, that there's got to be some public benefit. And I would suggest a very simple concept: leave the land as you found it. If that can be guaranteed, I think people will look at it.
790-2040 on the Buckmaster Show. KG is on the phone, Congressman, with us, and he has a question about fire suppression on national forest land. Go ahead, KG.
Yes, I worked on the Tonto National Forest.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yeah.
I worked on the Tonto National Forest. cutting firewood, and we had cut all the underbrush, and we paid the Forest Service to do that. Nobody paid us to do it. We paid them, and the program worked very well, except for one problem. environmentalists kept filing lawsuits, and the federal judges kept shutting the firewood cutting down. And we'd go for months, we couldn't cut the wood that we bought, and then we'd start cutting the wood. In 2 weeks, another federal judge, because of environmentalists, would shut us down again. Eventually, we got a lot of wood, firewood cut and a lot of brush, underbrush, and we've not had a forest fire in that area ever since. But if they would spend one-tenth of the money that they pay fighting the fire as preventing the fire by cutting underbrush and getting all that stuff out of there and shutting the environmentalists down from filing lawsuits, we would save lots and lots of money.
Okay, thank you, KG.
I don't disagree with the caller's comments. I really believe that the science on the issue has come so far in the last 4 or 5 years, and the seeding of different areas, the underbrush issue, and the interface between communities and forest. I think the science has come to the point where it's not a question of somebody suing as much as it's taken a while for people to become to the reality that this issue of fire suppression is not it's not an either-or proposition. It has to be done, and I think you'll find, the caller will find, that the thinking behind the strategy that he's talking about has evolved to the point where people don't feel necessarily that he is wrong, that there is an effort and should be done, and it has to be done environmentally right, but also in terms of fire protection as well and prevention.
You've got about 3 minutes left here with Congressman Grijalva. I want to ask you about the front page story in the Arizona Republic concerning your colleague in Congress, Gabrielle Giffords, one of the spokespeople for the Congresswoman, spoke to the Republic, and it was picked up by USA Today, basically saying the Congresswoman relying on gestures and incomplete sentences to communicate. Just what are you hearing about how Congresswoman Giffords is doing?
I hear what I think all of us hear, that she's made she's making a tremendous recovery, given the severity of her injury and what she's gone through, that her recovery is nothing short of miraculous, and that she continues to progress. And that's what we've all heard. And like I've said many times before, that, you know, all of us, I think, and everybody that's listening as well, has nothing but the greatest hope and the greatest desire for that progress to continue.
Congressman Raul Grijalva is with us. Just a few seconds left. I wanted to devote a little more time to this, but we'll get you either on the phone or to come back very soon to talk about this huge issue of lifting the government's borrowing cap. Can you give it to me in a nutshell where we stand right now?
Well, I don't think we're going to cut our way out of this. I think that at the same time that people are putting on the table the $4 trillion cuts over 10 years, that you also need to put on the table how you're going to mitigate some of those cuts by revenue generation, and we have to generate revenue. I would suggest that you have to look and at some of the protected areas like oil and gas subsidies, the tax breaks for the corporations, the loopholes, the giveaways that the government has done to certain industries, be they nuclear or be they coal. We have to look at that, because to just say that we're going to take out of people that out of the taxpayer, take their vital programs and services and reduce them, and not do anything about this other part of it, and to generate revenue to be able to balance the budget, cut the deficit, and bring the debt down, you're not going to be able to cut your way out of it just by itself.
Okay, Congressman Grijalva, thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show, and we will look forward to hearing from you. We'll talk some more about this as we continue on with the summer. How's that sound?
Sounds good. Thank
you. Okay, thanks a lot. Buckmaster Show time, 12:19. We've got talking summer tourism here in Tucson next. Stay with us.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Vere Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom, centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at verejewelers.com. Vere Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub. For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. With 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
The music, Rose. Good job. 23 minutes past noon. This is the Buckmaster Show on the Voice Network. Tucson has been selected by Outside Magazine, America's leading active lifestyle publication, as a finalist in its search to determine the best outside town in America. The three-week competition began yesterday. It will be held exclusively, is being held exclusively, on Outside Magazine's page on Facebook.com. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line, Jonathan Walker. Mr. Walker, President and CEO of the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau. Mr. Walker, that's a nice piece of publicity for Tucson, isn't it?
Well, it sure is. It was a it was something that our Jessica Stevens, our PR director, has worked on for quite a while and had to keep it under wraps until we were able to break it yesterday, that we had been narrowed down to one of the 10 finalists for this award. It comes with quite a bit of exposure and PR value. We're very excited about this.
Other cities include Charleston, South Carolina, Chattanooga, Madison, Portland, both Portlands, Portland, Oregon, and Maine, Santa Fe, Ashland, Oregon, Boulder, Colorado, Burlington, Vermont, and, of course, Tucson. All really nice kind of outdoor meccas, right?
Well, they are, and they all have a lot of things in common. Some big differences in geography and weather, that sort of thing, but all very much outdoorsy sorts of locations. We're just happy to be included in that.
Jonathan, let's talk a little bit about summer in Tucson. Traditionally, it has been, of course, a bit slower than our primetime tourism season, but over the years, the hotel industry has really stepped up to try to make some, and the spas, too, really some attractive bargains out there.
That's very true, Bill. We've over the past several years tried to focus as much attention as we can on the summer, knowing that it's a bit of a slower season for us. But with some attractive deals, with the whole staycation sort of concept of let's be a tourist in our own backyard, we've really focused quite a bit of attention on trying to get the hotel occupancy up as much as we can.
What are you doing specifically? Are there some coupons, or where do folks go to look for some bargains if they want to take what is commonly called, yeah, I think, a stay-at-home stay vacation?
Right, right. Well, the first place I'd direct them to is our website at visittucson.org, and we have a Real Deals page section on there where a lot of our hotel and the restaurant members and people in Tucson can post their savings and their specials throughout the summer. So it's a great place to really get a good collection of what's available. We've also done a real comprehensive job, we feel, of trying to really target the Phoenix market in particular. We have the fifth or sixth largest metropolitan area just 90 miles to the north of us, and with gasoline prices somewhat stabilized now but higher than they've been in a long time, one of the things that we want to try to capture is that short drive market, so people in the Phoenix area can still get away for a nice vacation, not go too far, and take advantage of some real deals. So we are doing some radio and billboards and some print advertising and so on in the Phoenix area. But we're also going to be utilizing social media to a great extent this year with utilizing Facebook and Twitter, that sort of thing, on to promote Tucson for the summer session.
Talking with Jonathan Walker, he heads up the Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau. Mr. Walker, how does it look year to date? How is are we starting to bounce back a little bit from the past 2 or 3 years?
Well, we have been slowly going back up in terms of the hotel occupancy. We had, up until March, we had 7 months in a row of albeit slight, but increases in occupancy. We had a little bit of a downturn in, not much, but a little bit in March because of lack of spring training. That hurt us a little bit, but we've seen occupancy slowly going up, and so we're very excited about that and looking to hopefully continue that trend throughout the rest of this year.
What do you say to people who say that tourism is going to bounce back? Do you think it will, and is it going to take another year or two, or before we get back to the levels before the stock market really bottomed out a couple of years ago?
Well, it might even take a little bit longer than a year or two to get back. We will get back there, I do believe, at some point. I think it's going to be a longer, slower process than what we had originally thought maybe a year or two ago. It's just this national recession has really taken its toll, particularly on the travel industry. And then you add on top of that the higher gasoline prices and things like that has just kept travel at a lower level than we would like to see. Things like SB 1070, the immigration laws have not been kind to Arizona either, so that's further hindered the growth. But I do believe that slowly but surely we will come out of this and get back to where we were pre-recession, but that it will take a little while.
Okay. Jonathan Walker, head of the President and CEO of the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau, thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show.
My pleasure. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks. Jonathan Walker has been joining us, and we have the Vice Mayor for the City of Tucson, Richard Fimbrace, will be joining us next, so stick around. We've got another half hour of great interviews for you. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Newt Gingrich's campaign manager and numerous other key aides have resigned together. This is a strong blow to Gingrich's hopes for the GOP presidential nomination. A fire spokesman says about a half dozen homes or cabins have burned as a massive wildfire in eastern Arizona moves through the east side of the mountain town of Greer. An aide to Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords says it's still a struggle for her to communicate, and she says it remains unclear whether Giffords will be able to return to work some 5 months after she was shot in the head. A second straight month of record exports helped to narrow the U.S. trade gap in April. That has stocks trading higher today. The Dow is up about 112 points, the Nasdaq ahead 17. More details at srnnews.com.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tanqueverty Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you. Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA 4-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com. From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
$12:35 on the Buckmaster Show. A reminder, tomorrow our Friday Focus interview will be with Mike Varney. Mr. Varney is the new head of the Tucson Chamber of Commerce. And of course, we'll have our Friday roundtable, Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, and we'll have Mark Evans from TucsonCitizen.com joining us to talk about the top stories of the week. Next up on the Buckmaster Show, the Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson, Ward 5 Councilman Richard Fimbres. Mr. Fimbres, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. How are you doing today?
I'm doing terrific, and you say in your latest letter that you put out to the community that you see some light at the end of the tunnel on this economic situation that has been bothering certainly the city of Tucson and its residents.
I think so. I think that the streetcar has been a great game changer for us. We're monitoring everything that happens with the streetcar right now. We put it on the agenda for a weekly update so we can ensure that we need to do the things that we need to do to move it forward. There's movement in my ward, especially. You know, the big thing was Costco at the bridges opening up. Bill, it was exciting. They had over 700 new membership.
Really?
Yes. And normally a good day for them is over $600,000. This store brought in over $730,000.
Wow, talk about an economic engine for that part of town.
Exactly. And then other good news is the university down there at the bridges is going to be breaking ground this summer. So that's going to be happening. That's going to put construction crews to work. Also, we're negotiating, and permits have been filed by Walmart to also set up retail down in the bridges area. So there's lots of things happening right now. We've also had, with the certificate of occupancy changes that we made, two Goodwill stores took vacant buildings that were there, had been vacant for years, and now moved in, and then they put people that really are disadvantaged to work. So that's helped, and it's also helped the folks that shop at the Goodwills. We've had Quick Trip, which is similar to Circle K, 7-Eleven, have come in. They said they're going to build 33 new stores in the Pima County area. First two stores that were built were in Ward 5. So there's movement going on right now. Next week, on the 16th, next Thursday, I'm hosting another business forum over at the El Pueblo Senior Center. And that we are bringing in our city folks to provide the business community updates on what's happening in our area and to also educate them on other ways that our offices can help them and smooth some of the processes for them.
That's the Ward 5 Business Forum, June 16th, 6 to 8 p.m., El Pueblo Senior Center. Everyone is encouraged to come out and talk about their concerns or say what they're happy about or sad about, right?
Exactly. We also want to hear those, Bill.
Yeah.
You know, we need to streamline our business processes to help kickstart this economy. And we live off sales taxes, so we got to get people to work. And I think that economic engine will be, a lot of it has to be the streetcar. This last Tuesday, they awarded a huge RFP proposal to the Ashton Company, which is a local construction company, for the bridges. So there's a project right there that's going to put people to work. Hopefully today, the RTA is meeting to approve seven other projects that will affect the city of Tucson, and that means more construction work. I understand it may also be, people are going to be upset because they're going to have to go around the street areas that are being worked on, but still that's progress.
Yeah, it's putting it's certainly putting people to work, isn't it?
Exactly, and that's what we want right now. We want people to to get back to work, and we want to so they can pay their sales tax.
There you go. If you have a question, any of the Buckmaster Show listeners, Richard Fimbres would love to hear from you. 790-2040. I wanted to also mention, Vice Mayor Fimbres, that the SunTran fares, now the council did approve some increases for those. What about SunTran generally? How is it doing?
Well, it's we need to still have some work done. I know we passed some fares on the economic fare, and we also did some other ratings, but they are really not that impactful on the average rider, and which is important. We had to minimize that because most of the folks that are utilizing the bus systems now are the ones that can't afford to fix their vehicle or can't afford the vehicle. So we and they use it to get to work or to school and back. So we wanted to kind of minimize those costs, but we also did some things. We also released some of the old ordinances that kept advertising in check, like you could only do 15 wraparound buses. We've already released that. We have a fleet of 244 buses. We're not going to wrap all those, but at least it gives them more than just doing the 15. And that's going to help stimulate and create some more revenue for transit. Also, they can advertise within the bus. They can advertise on the bus literature that comes out with the routes and et cetera, and on the bus pass themselves. So it gives them more opportunities to try to increase the cost recovery.
Councilman, I don't think the story got a lot of play, but the city of Tucson did get some really good news. Positive bond ratings have been affirmed. That didn't get a lot of publicity, but that's really important, isn't it?
It was important, especially in these hard economic times. And we did post it, and it's posted on our website to get that message out, that even though this hard economic times, these great city employees and the need they've seen has been able to minimize the effect, and the banks and the folks that allow the bonding saw it also and helped us. And I think that there's some game changers in there that are going to help us down the road here even get better.
You know, one of the things that Mike Letcher had in his op-ed piece, I think it was actually yesterday in the Arizona Daily Star, one of the big knocks has been the red tape, and we talked a little bit about that at the beginning of this interview for businesses. Is the city making progress in becoming more, quote, business-friendly?
I think that Ernie Duarte and Albert Elias and then the department directors in those areas are making great efforts in that area, and I understand it. We got a land use code that's over 1,700 pages long. And it contradicts itself along the way. And we got a committee working on that to streamline that process. But like I said, the certificate of occupancy thing that we, in April that we passed is helping to streamline some of these things. And then the special care that the offices and departments are giving folks that want to come in is another thing. I mean, you could talk to the university folks at the bridges and talk about the great things that have happened. You could talk to Jim Portner and Eric Davis, who orchestrated the Costco and the retail industry going in the Ward 5 area, and they sing songs about what the employees have done. So we're making the efforts. Have we hit everybody? No. But are we moving in the right direction? I think so.
In a few minutes, we'll be speaking with Fletcher McCusker, the chairman and CEO of the Providence Service Corporation. A lot of people, you're talking about game changers, a lot of people credit Mr. McCusker with his decision to put that headquarters building downtown. That really is big.
I agree with you 100%, and I really applaud the efforts that Fletcher has made in the downtown areas. He sees what we see, and he has a great vision for the downtown community. And, you know, what he's doing and helping the Fox Theater is another thing that he needs to be commended for. We have some great people that really care about our city that are really stepping up. And I think it's not only the government but the private sector that are working closer together to get us out of this economic down slump and to move Tucson forward. Tucson is a great city. You know, we're one of the top 10. We're hoping that we'll win this award, you know.
Yeah, we were just
talking. Outside Magazine, because that also just reaffirms what we've been trying to do.
Yeah, that's true. Richard Fimbres, thank you very much for being with us, and good luck as you continue
in your
journey.
Thank you. Congratulations for your new show.
Yeah, the new show here on KVOI. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Right,
have a great day. All right, we have Fletcher McCusker coming up next on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. We'll talk in detail about what he's doing downtown.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
Firo Amori presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Firo Amori. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Firo Amori in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamoripizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinkaverde, at the southwest corner of Tinkaverde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinkaverde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tinkaverde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
At least once or twice a month here on the Buckmaster Show, we try to introduce you to a CEO of some of Tucson's largest companies. The CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Trio, offering programs and services to support the attraction and expansion of companies that offer primary high-wage jobs to our citizens. Since 2005, Trio has facilitated the relocation and or expansion of nearly 40 companies in the Tucson region, representing over 10,550 jobs and a $2 billion economic impact. For more information, visit trioaz.org. Today, we focus on Fletcher McCusker, the chairman and CEO of the Providence Service Corporation, a NASDAQ public company he founded in 1996 with $50,000. Providence today is a billion-dollar company, has been ranked by Business Week as one of America's hottest companies for each of the last 3 years. A native Tucsonan and graduate of the UA, Mr. McCusker serves on the boards of the UA Eller College and Social and Behavioral Sciences College, the YMCA, St. Gregory School, and Trio. His company recently underwrote a chair in the UA School of Public Administration and Policy, and since relocated his company headquarters to downtown Tucson. Mr. McCusker is very active in downtown revitalization. He serves as chair of the Circles member of Trio and a board member of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. He's also a co-founder of Second Saturday Downtown. Mr. McCusker, thanks for being with us.
I think you've run out of time now, Bill.
Your introduction took up about 2 minutes of our 10-minute chat there, but you certainly have done a lot. And tell me about the decision to go downtown. Was that a difficult one, or what was your thinking?
Well, it wasn't unanimous amongst our staff. We have about 350 staff here in Tucson. As your intro suggested, we've grown the company from two people to about 11,000 total employees now, and we had outgrown our space on the east side. We're actually looking at a number of new offices when one of my staff suggested, you know, why aren't we looking downtown? This was about a year and a half ago. And I must tell you, most of the people in the room said, oh, my God, please, you know, tell us you're not going downtown. So the initial reaction was quite a shock. And it wasn't too long ago that Madden Media had moved downtown. So we decided we would come pay them a visit. And they set up a very nice lunch with our staff and theirs, and we came downtown about a year and a half ago to learn what was going on here and became quite excited about the opportunity to make a difference downtown. As you know, the public sector had faltered, so we saw some real opportunities for the private sector to get involved.
And I have to tell you, the folks I speak with really point as almost a watershed to that decision of you to bring the headquarters downtown, that this really showed that private industry was serious about bringing downtown back. It wasn't just going to be a public finance kind of deal.
Yeah, I think the timing was good in that regard because almost simultaneously, Unisource announced the development of their new corporate headquarters, and we announced our relocation. We're directly across the street from one another, Bill. So you have, you know, the two public companies that are kind of homegrown here in Tucson residing next door to each other now on Broadway and Scott, which, by the way, will be a modern streetcar stop, they tell me. So, you know, in the not-too-distant future, you'll be able to step out of our office onto the trolley and over to the university's main gate. So, you know, all that was kind of part and parcel to our decision. One, the chance to engage. Unisource is elected to build a new headquarters building. We elected to renovate basically an entire block of, you know, boarded-up buildings. And, you know, both of us, I think, have been dramatic catalysts for downtown development.
Where do you see downtown going? Is it safe to say, Mr. McCusker, that we have turned the corner and are bringing the downtown finally back to life?
Absolutely. You know, if you haven't been down and if your listeners haven't made it to a second Saturday, I'd encourage you to come down this Saturday night. Every second Saturday in downtown is all about music now. We're averaging somewhere near 10,000 people to those events. You know, a year ago, people said we'd be lucky to get 900. You know, in the year that we've been here, you've seen Janos
relocate downtown, the Hub open, Monkey Burger open downtown, Villa Thai. You know, you now see some of the greatest restaurateurs in town electing to develop business downtown, and a lot of other small businesses have opened up. What's exciting to me about all this is it's private sector driven. These are young people risking their own money, their own energy and passion to open up a business in downtown Tucson. And, you know, we're not getting any government grants. We're not getting any Rio Nuevo money. You know, this is a passionate group of people who have created this kind of contagious excitement about the revitalization of downtown.
And I know you travel the country and you've seen downtown areas. Would you almost say that what's going on in downtown Tucson is almost a hybrid for this particular area, that it is unique in some way?
Yeah, a lot of it, you know, I must confess, we kind of look to Austin, Texas as a model. This is a kind of an edgy college town. It's about the same size. It has a lot of music venues, a lot of great places to eat. Its downtown is clearly a destination. A lot of us are interested in replicating that. But if you look at whether it's Tempe or Portland or San Diego or Albuquerque, or, you know, a lot of cities have really put a lot of energy into the revitalization of their core. You know, my son is urban. You know, kids today want to live in a loft, you know, walk to their work and entertainment or bike to their work. So you're seeing a lot of interest around the country in the revitalization of these historical downtowns. And unfortunately, Tucson kind of started and stopped as it related to the government initiative. So without the private sector support, much of what, you know, is downtown would probably still be boarded up.
You serve on the boards of both TRIO and the Metropolitan Tucson Chamber of Commerce. Tomorrow here on the Buckmaster Show, Mr. McCusker, our guest, our Friday Focus interview will be with Mike Varney, who is the new head of the Tucson Chamber of Commerce. Are you excited about what he is planning for the area?
Yeah, we're really excited to see the chamber engage. Mike has a very solid history coming from Vegas. You know, also ran a small business, so I think he really gets the energy that's needed. And, you know, the chamber's lost members, I think it's become irrelevant. And, you know, they are going to engage. They see the vision and wisdom of a revitalized downtown. So we're excited about the leadership at the chamber and the opportunity for them to recruit new businesses downtown, and the energy that Mike has brought to, you know, the need for an urban revitalization. So he's a great addition to Tucson, and you know, hopefully in the next few days he and his wife might settle on a house.
We'll ask him if they've made any progress.
Ask him how that's going.
Yeah, of course, TRIO has its headquarters downtown, and as I mentioned, you're on the board of TRIO as well. And I think it's good for TRIO in attracting new businesses to say, hey, we do have a nice, a revitalized central core, isn't it?
Well, you wouldn't think so, but we've actually had companies that are being recruited are looking at a number of competitive sites, whether it's Phoenix or Alabama or San Diego, and they've asked to see our urban environment. And so I think, you know, people get it now that Tucson has to compete. And in order to compete, we want a thriving, urban, revitalized downtown. And, you know, even companies that are going to Oro Valley or to Sarita now are very interested in the progress, or the lack of progress, Bill, in our revitalized downtown. So I think TRIO understands, as we all do now, that the successful revitalization of downtown is very much a part of our story, and it's giving us some competitive edge. Now, some of the recent company announcements have indicated that they really like what's happening in downtown Tucson.
Tell me a bit about Providence Service Corporation. As I mentioned in that intro, that lengthy intro, that it was you put this thing together with $50,000 in your pocket in 1996. What were you thinking then, and what were some of your goals at that point?
Well, we were hopeful that I could create a job for myself back then. You know, it was everything we had, and we had some friends and some good-natured banks that took risks on us early on. But, you know, we saw the home health world very differently 15, 16 years ago. We're really a pioneer company in developing home health, particularly in the mental health field. And it's basically a story, Bill, of us being in the right place at the right time. Our company has never been in more demand, and we're doing a great job. We have 11,000 superior employees working for us that day in, day out make a difference in people's lives. So it really is a story mostly of luck and being in the right place at the right time. And, we had always envisioned ourselves as a public company, and we went public in 2003.
And you mentioned over 300 employees locally in Tucson, is that correct?
Yeah, 350 here in Tucson, about 11,000 total nationwide.
Are you planning to grow that a little bit, the Tucson numbers?
It is growing. We're going to bring in some of our IT people from around the country into one of the buildings we're remodeling downtown. We expect that will grow by 100 or so in the next couple of years. And we're growing on the average about 10%. A year over the last several years. We expect that will continue.
You're wrapping me up, Mr. McCusker. Thank you very much for being with us. Congratulations on what you're doing downtown.
Bill, good luck to you, too.
Thank you very much. We're just about out of time on the Buckmaster Show. I want to remind you that the Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants. They're our friends over at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, Flowers & Rieger, the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Please support our sponsors. They're all good people. I know these people personally. Please drop by any of our sponsors. Say you enjoy the Buckmaster Show and you appreciate the support they are giving us. They are really terrific people, and I wouldn't have anybody sponsoring this show that I didn't believe in personally. That's going to do it. Join us tomorrow, Friday Focus. New head of the chamber will be with us. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.